Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And indeed, we carry on understanding the message of the grace of God in its various dimensions. You know, God's grace comes in different facets. And one of the things that we've been learning, His grace is not only unmerited favor, where this is where God has chosen us, has loved us, has shown us His mercy, even when we don't deserve it. But we've also seen that grace is also divine enablement, in that God gifts us. God gives us the ability to see, the ability to do things, the ability to do the supernatural naturally. And this only comes out of His mercy. It's not of human effort. It is God who chooses which gifts to give to each and every individual. But the Bible tells us that to the profit of all, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the profit of all. And so today, by the grace of God, we are going to look at another facet of grace. And really, ideally today, we are going to see the aspect of no condemnation. No condemnation. And this is really what God has placed in my heart for us to listen this morning. And I pray that God will bless you. Now, we are going to read, and our core scripture is going to come from the book of John. And this is the Gospel of John chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 12. Now the Bible says, "But Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him and sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?' This they said, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger, as though He did not hear. So when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first, or let him cast the first stone.' And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who had it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.'" Now, by the Spirit of God, I would want us to picture ourselves with Jesus. And the Bible says that early in the morning, He is at the Mount of Olives, and He had come down and He was teaching the people. You see, the Bible says the people came to Him early in the morning in Mount Olives. So remember, He had started praying earlier, then He finished prayer, then He saw a crowd. A crowd has come to Him to be taught. And then as He is teaching, and this is a morning time, then the Pharisees and the scribes bring in a woman, and they set her in the midst in front of Jesus. And they tell her, "Jesus, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery." Now you can imagine it, maybe it was morning. Okay, it was morning when the woman was caught. But how does one commit adultery alone? It doesn't make sense. But you see, the man was left alone. The man either escaped or ran off, but the judgment was passed to the woman. And this is something that was already unjust coming before the just God. Now, you would argue that, is it that Jesus did not understand the law? Because they're telling him that the law tells us that this woman should be stoned. But actually, when you look at the history, it tells us that by this time, the Romans had stopped the Israelites and no one was allowed, you know, to do such kinds of stoning. But you see, they still did it from time to time. But you see, it was actually, it would have been a crime for Jesus to have ordered for the stoning of this woman. Because the Bible says they wanted to have something by which they might accuse him of. So they were going to accuse Jesus before the Romans that this Jesus ordered for the stoning of a woman. But you see, the creator of the earth, the creator of the heavens, the creator of each and everyone stands in the place where he could have issued judgment. Why? Because he was sinless. He has the ability to judge. But the Bible says, sacrifice, an offering you did not desire, but you desired mercy. God desired to show human beings mercy. And this is one of the manifold wisdoms of God that the principalities and powers still struggle to understand. Why? Because to them, when they sinned in eternity, and they were judged in eternity, and there was nothing that could be done to atone or to show them mercy when the devil sinned. When iniquity was found in his heart, he was cast down from heaven, and that was it. There is no place for mercy. There is no place for repentance. But you see, God wanting to demonstrate a manifold wisdom of God, he demonstrates this aspect called mercy. And now mercy is where God overlooks judgment. When he says there is no condemnation, that means at this point, I am not going to pass judgment on you. Not that Christ is not the ultimate judge, because, oh yes, he is still going to come as a judge. At the end of the times, he will come as the judge, and where he shall separate the goats from the sheep, there is a time for judgment. And the Bible says it is appointed once for man to die, then judgment. But as long as each and every one of us is still alive and breathing, then we still have a chance to escape judgment. And the Bible says, escape from the coming judgment, escape from the corruption that is coming upon the earth, escape from that trouble. It's saying, as long as you and I are alive, we have the room for mercy. The woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And I think of today where, you know, there's so many men and women of God who are either caught in a sexual sin, they're caught in adultery, and they're brought before the world, they're brought before the media, they're brought before the churches, and they have to confess that publicly, they apologize for what they've done, they're stripped off of their ministries, they're stripped off of, you know, even of followership of those who have deals, they are cut off, gospel musicians, they lose their, you know, their funding and all that, and people no longer welcome them, and even though they cry out for repentance, and they have truly repented, no one will hear them. And you see, that is the place of men. And you can see, even in this time, the woman, they were ready to stone her because she was caught in the very act. But you see, God's judgment is not like man's judgment. Now, man's judgment will never forgive you. And there are things I can assure you that God is the only one who is big enough to forgive. You can imagine a great minister, a great priest falls into sin and every man condemns them. And Jesus says, I am the only one who is big enough to forgive this. Look at David. Everyone expected that David will never stand again. He did adultery. He conspired for the murder of Uriah. He ended up taking his wife. She gets pregnant. The babies come. And yet, he still has not repented. One will think that, oh, this is the end. You can imagine if the tabloids of that time, if the newspapers of that time, oh, can you imagine the king? He stole someone's wife. He stole his own soldier's wife. He slept with her. He made her pregnant. He killed the soldier. And now he's living with her as his wife. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And they will talk and they will talk. Yet the same word comes that David, I found for myself David, a man after my own heart, a man with the heart of God, because David knew how to find God when he had lost him. He went back and said, against you alone have I sinned. Have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. David knew that there is a place in God that has unfailing love. There is a place, there is a throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that boldly approach the throne of grace by which you might receive mercy and grace. You might lambano, you might take hold of mercy and grace for your time of need. We can boldly, the Bible says we have access to that throne of grace where we can receive mercy. I tell you today, it doesn't matter how far you have fallen, how much you have sinned against God, how much you have forsaken the covenant, how much you have transgressed, how much men have written you off because of where you have fallen. It doesn't matter what the sin you have done. If you just know that there is still a throne where that cries out mercy, there is a throne of grace where you can plead your case, where you have a Lord that was tempted in every way, just like you and me, and was found without sin, and that is was punished for sin. He was made sin for you and me, that we might be made the righteousness of God. If you just know, you can come to the one who will tell you there is no condemnation. He tells you, go and sin no more. He tells you, where are your accusers? The woman was asked, where are your accusers? Because the moment Jesus started to write on the ground, he started to point out and to map out everyone in that place. I can imagine what was he writing. He was starting to write all the legal judgments that are against this woman. Oh yes, the law of Moses is saying this. You deserve to be killed. Oh yes, you have done this. But he, even as he starts to write and his finger is on the ground, he's like, oh, you Pharisee, I saw you last night. I can write your sins. Oh, I saw you doing this. I can write it. I saw you doing this. I can write it. But you see, instead of me just writing your sins, I have not come to write your sins. I have come to write mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And I can imagine Christ, instead of, the Bible does not tell us what he was writing, but by the Spirit, I can see him. He was writing mercy, mercy, mercy. I came to deliver
mercy, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, I did not come into the world for judgment. If the Bible says the Holy Spirit, He comes to convict the world of sin, to change, to reprove us, to correct us about how we understand sin, because they did not believe in me. So He's telling us that sin is just failure to believe in Christ, and He's telling them that I am correcting your perception of what sin is. And He says, and of judgment, because the prince of this world stands condemned. The judgment that Jesus came to declare is against the prince of this world. The condemnation is for the devil. That's why He says we should not fall under the condemnation of the devil, because hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his followers, and for the devil and the demons and the and you know, and this and his fallen angels. Hell was not made for man, but you see, the devil is quick to bring others to join with him into the lake of fire, because he doesn't want to go there alone. But condemnation is already declared against the prince of this world. And indeed, when the devil brings judgment, tell him, no, it is you that is condemned. Your place in the lake of fire is assured. It is already guaranteed. It is settled. But for you and me, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Yes, you deserve judgment, but there is a throne of mercy that is accessible for you and I, that we can come to the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who says, I died for you. I died for you. Even this, I died for it. Even this that men cannot forgive, I died for it. Even for this sin, how big it is, I died for it. And He's telling you, take on my yoke. It is light and easy. Be joined to me. Be joined to me. Believe in me and receive the forgiveness of sins. And He says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Christ does not promote sin. This is not a license to now just go and do whatever you want. No, this is the mercy that is available to those who know that they just are guaranteed death by their actions. But now they come to the place of mercy. Mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Don't mind your accusers. There is one that has forgiven you. Maybe you're there, you have not yet been restored by the leaders. Be restored by God. He is the one that counts. Be built up again. He is the one that builds up men. Be established in truth. He is the one that establishes us again. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but each time he gets up. Get up again. Get up again. Get up again. Brethren, if a man is caught in a sin, if a man, Galatians 6, chapter 1, if a man is taken up in sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a man in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, and lest you also be tempted. I charge you
that are spiritual. Restore those that are fallen. Restore them. Restore them. Restore them. It's just that our sins, our private sins, might not be public to others. But even those ones, God has shown us mercy. As long as someone is alive and they are coming to repentance and they are coming to the throne, they receive mercy. Likewise, let us show mercy. I will stop there, and I pray that God will give us life this morning. No condemnation. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for my brother, my sister, who is in need of mercy this morning, who feels condemned for what they have done or what they have failed to do, for the errors that are arisen from our sinful nature, from our omissions, from our commissions, from mistakes that men would crucify us and are ready to crucify us. And men have brought us before the crucible to be crucified publicly. But there is a throne, there is a court of heaven, there is a place where you say mercy. There is a throne of grace. And I thank you that as we sit at feet of mercy, that your mercy, we take hold, we lambano, we grab it, we possess it, we take it, because you have already taken hold of it for us, O God. Forgive your children, forgive us of our failures, that indeed may we walk in the newness of life. Come, let us reason together. You say, though your sins be as red as crimson, they shall be made white as snow. And I thank you that in you there is mercy. And indeed we receive strength to walk in truth, strength to be restored, strength to walk in grace. May your power, presence, and favor guide your people, watch over them, protect them, and keep them. Pray for our families, be with them, guide them, and watch over them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day. Bye-bye.